Welcome back, you horny little rats. It's time to smut up and listen.
Just a reminder for today's episode and all future episodes, our opinions are subjective. We don't advocate for kink shaming or author shaming. This is all in good smutty fun. Enjoy. And don't forget to check out patreon.com/smutupandlisten to listen to the r/smut podcast, where Riley and I will be doing blind reactions every Tuesday to Reddit erotica.
Today's episode trigger warning is explicit sexual content.
And I have a Spotify comment, and this comes from Lakota Dawn, and it says, "You girls are hilarious." Thank you.
Thank you.
We are.
I love being told I'm funny.
Hilarious and humble.
And hot.
Yeah. And this week, we're telling Riley all about Lessons with the Mothman by Catherine Moon.
The story opens up with Elias, Rafe, and Estrella all together in Rafe's kitchen. Estrella mentioned to Elias that this woman named Gabriella is looking for a wedding date to make her ex jealous. Elias isn't super sure about being the date, though, because Gabriella is one of his clients. The last appointment they had, she literally levitated off of his lap from orgasming so hard. And he likes her, but nothing more than friends and a client. The thing about Elias is he's fey, and not just any fey, a super rare moth fey. And love is exceptionally rare between their species. Even now, after being alive for centuries, he still hasn't found it once, and he really wants to be in love.
Aww.
Elias is a freelance sex worker at Monster Smash Agency, and the only one who has a say on who gets to pick the partner because he's so good at his job. So rather than the clients coming in and get to pick out the worker, he gets to pick who's interested based off of what they want.
Okay.
As you know, Elias is a fey moth, and his friend Rafe is a gargoyle. Rafe's mate is named Hannah, and she's a werewolf, and Estrella is a succubus. So they're all sexy monsters.
Cute.
Things are getting a little tight at Monster Smash Agency because somehow, when Estrella matches workers and clients together, a lot of them end up getting mated. And Elias is hella jealous because he wants love so bad. So he's like, when is it going to be my turn?
It's just a lover boy.
Estrella provides Elias a list of potential new clients, and on the back of one folder, he finds a yellow sticky note, and it's a note in Estrella's handwriting that says Victoria Dempsey, Independent Monster Studies for NWU, Monster Sexuality, looking for interview subjects and possible demonstrations. This instantly piques Elias's interest, and they come to an agreement that Elias could potentially be the only one from the agency to help her do this because he's a freelance worker and does not have a strict contract with the agency. Estrella's a little on the fence, though, because what Victoria is looking for is not necessarily to be a client for his sex work, but to interview and view demonstrations for a project. But he is determined to make this work. For some reason, this project intrigues and excites him, and it's something like a feeling that he hasn't felt in a really long time. So finally, Estrella tells him that she will pitch the offer to the agency and arrange a meeting. Victoria made a pit stop back at her childhood home where her parents still live. It's clear that they have an estranged relationship and a very tense one, and she stops to change to make herself presentable for her parents when her mom goes out to make her say hello to everyone there because they have like a very posh home life. Mm-hmm. So like her street clothes weren't even good enough. She had changed into a dress.
I'd hate that.
She goes back into her childhood room to get her mail, and before she leaves, something stops her in her tracks. She hears some noise coming from her sister Emma's room.
Fuck. You get so tight. Holy shit, baby. My former fiancé's voice took on a broken whine as he spoke to his current fiancé, my younger sister. What the fuck?
Yeah.
I would disown my sister. Oh my god.
They dated for 7 years. I was gagged.
That's insane.
But she was the one that broke things off with him, and his name is Brett. And a few months later, he just started dating her sister. So of course, no one believed her when she was like, no, I broke up with him. And they're like, okay, sweetie.
What the fuck?
Because he's smoking hot and rich, and they just kind of felt bad for her. But really, she just didn't like him. Like, she didn't love him, and she couldn't really enjoy sex with him. She gets to Monster Smash Agency for her meeting with the potential agreement for her paper and is stunned by Estrella's beauty. When she gets into the office to where Elias is, she's speechless.
My mouth dried at the sight of him, ethereal and eerie, tall and inhuman, with large onyx eyes and shimmering antennae. A thin layer of skin closed from side to side as he blinked, and his head tipped, cheek brushing into the thick and so wonderfully soft-looking mane of deep, brassy fur that circled his neck and shoulders.
Instantly, Victoria's body feels like she's responding to him with eagerness that's not normal for her. She steps fully into the room, and he smiles at her, and a little fang pops out.
Mm.
Elias is instantly attracted to Victoria. She has cute freckles and vibrant red hair that could mimic a flame, almost luring him in. And it's kind of funny because it's like moth meat flame.
Oh, yeah. I see.
They have a productive professional meeting, and in the end, Victoria signs the deal, agreeing to work with and compensate, if needed, MSA for her academic findings. So she's writing a thesis for school. Elias asks to walk with her to her car, and during their brief little chit-chat, he asks if she would like to meet him out for his bar called Nightlight tonight, where they can talk more about her research and what she's looking to explore. Graciously, she accepts. At Nightlight, they're talking, and ultimately, Elias finds the root of her research. She wants to find out why monsters are more sexually satisfied than humans, and if there are any monsters that are universal. It also brings up the question, is there a difference between monsters and human orgasms and love? And they're both eager to find out.
Those are interesting questions.
Because monsters do be fucking.
They do. Yeah.
Victoria, aka Vic, is in class, and her professor holds her back. She's dreading it because it's the same professor she had an affair with her first year. Her bestie is an incubus, and his name is Lyle, and he's the only one that knows, and he's waiting for her outside of class. Professor Stanton wants to know what Elias's role is in her project, and he also wants to be there when she does her interviews. He says this is to help prepare her for the department pushback, but in reality, he's just like a weirdo. And also, keep in mind that the affair was her freshman year, and she's on her second master's program, so he's like still weirdly obsessed with her.
Oh, creep.
Victoria meets Elias at Nightlight once again, but this time it's after hours for some monster interviews. When she gets to the bar, she's actually met with Elias, Rafe, and his mate Hannah. Victoria and Hannah go into the office together because Hannah and Rafe both agreed to help Victoria do interviews. And once the girls are gone, Elias turns to Rafe and he's like, damn, she hates me. It only took Kel and Sunny, who are their two monster friends, 5 days to meet. But Bessie Rafe was like, dude, just get to know her first. Relax, because he just really wants to find love. He's like, it's been like 24 hours and we're not mated. I just want to know what love is and she hates me.
Aw, poor guy.
After Victoria interviews Hannah, Rafe, and the vampire, it's early morning by the time she finished. Elias told the vampire she interviewed, Andre, that Elias will now do him a favor since he did the interview, and essentially saying that he's indebted to him, which is a big thing in the fae world. After he asked Vic if she wanted to get breakfast with him, they had an open, intimate talk on Victoria's sex life, and now she's like deep diving into this research because she can't orgasm. This is the root of all of the problem. She can't bust a nut.
That'd be terrible.
With her ex, Brett, it was completely non-existent. She thought that something was wrong with her. Then she had an affair with her professor, and although she didn't come, she did enjoy the sex, so she's like, okay, maybe I'm not like completely broken, but there is something wrong with me. As they're talking, they start finally flirting once he starts casually saying how good of a sex monster he is. Vic woke up after having a sex dream of the Mothman, and he's coaxing her to come on his dick. As her day gets moving, she gets a text from her sister Emma asking if she wants to catch up and get a drink together, just the two of them. Immediately, she agrees and says, tell me the time and the place and I'm there.
The sister that is engaged to her ex-fiance?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm. And she keeps trying to tell everyone that she's totally fine with Emma and Brett being together, but Emma feels weirdly guilty about it. So she's been avoiding Victoria. And Victoria's like, I just want my sister.
Yeah.
Oh. Well, why'd you get with him?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it? As she's waiting for her sister to respond, she gets a text message from Elias, who tells her that he has lined up volunteers for demonstration and interviews. It's a Naga and a Minotaur, and Vic is hella excited now. Deciding the best thing to do would be to keep all this to herself, because she knew that if she told her professor, then he'd want to be there, and she's like, I do not want him there for that demonstration.
Fair.
So she tells Elias that she's free next Saturday. It's the day of the demonstration, and Vic pulls up to a stunning Victorian historical-style mansion. Homegirl's like, where the fuck am I? There's heavy iron gates, and when it opens, standing there is Elias, and he's like, hey, welcome to my home.
Oh, you know, my little house.
She's like, what? This is your house? It's huge and stunning, and it literally looks like a museum. You are loaded. She wants a tour, now knowing that this is his intimate space, but Cyril and Atlas are already in the space waiting. He asks if she would prefer him to stay with her for the demonstration or if she'd like to watch it alone, but she asks him to stay. Right before entering the room, she confesses to him that she's nervous, and ever the so thoughtful, understanding king, he pulls her to the side and hears her out. She tells him that she's nervous that she'll be aroused during this, and he's like, if it makes you more comfortable, they would kind of be offended if you weren't aroused.
Yeah, you're watching people, like, get freaky.
Yeah.
After he talks her through Cyril and Atlas's dynamic and reassures her that she will have a steady presence in him, she's ready to go in. Inside the room, it's like a bed is a stage and there's viewing platforms all around it.
There they were, perched at the edge of the bed, a huge white minotaur with a dark snout and brown ears, nuzzling into the inky black hair of the elegant Naga at his side. Naga? What the fuck's a Naga?
Yeah, he's like a snake man.
Oh.
Yeah, he's got the torso of a man and the body of a snake.
Oh. Hot. I've never seen a Naga in person, and now I had an unobstructed eyeful. I wasn't sure what clothing someone who was half snake and half human in appearance might wear, and I still wouldn't know because Cyril was already naked, bronzed brown chest gleaming, long indigo blue tail twisting, like liquid over the edge of the bed, around his love and oh, down into Cyril's trousers.
Once they realized our audience is here, they started on the interviews before the show. They demonstrated for her a power dominance of Cyril coiling around the minotaur and not allowing him to come, and Elias noted her getting flustered from the view.
Uh-huh.
Victoria is watching the two with interest and lust as they rustle and tussle on the bed.
Now you'll see why I put up with Cyril's wicked mouth, Atlas teased, thick fingers tangling further into Cyril's hair, guiding his cock deeper between stretched lips. Victoria's breath was uneven as she sat next to me, and she didn't notice as our arms brushed close. Slowly, I leaned in, breathing deeply and catching the whiff of her interest, musky and tart, ample enough to make my mouth water.
So he's scenting her, and he's like, pussy juice.
Nice.
So Cyril's a sneaky snake, and they're one of the few species that can take all the Minotaur's monster cock. And when Cyril's enforcing the Gluck-Gluck 3000, the jaw is literally unhinged and Cyril just swallows that thing whole.
Damn.
Elias can't contain himself and he has to know how she's feeling, so he asks. As always, she's open with him and tells him that it's nice that she feels aroused because there was a time that she didn't ever feel it, but it's hard for her not to have an outlet. He asks if she misses fucking, but then things get crazy between Cyril and Atlas before she can answer. Atlas opened up the little pocket that Cyril's snake cock retreated into and starts fucking it. So, like, his cock protruded out of a slit after he was done fucking it, like, went back into the slit. So Atlas the Minotaur, like, opened up the slit and started fucking his sheath.
His slit?
Yeah.
Yeah. He's fucking the slit?
Yep.
Oh, okay.
It's like his little bussy.
Yeah, it is a bussy. Yeah. I can. Atlas grunted and shook himself. I can feel his little cock nudging against mine. We barely fit. His little cock.
Yeah.
As Victoria is watching them get downright freaky, she turns to Elias and says, yes, I miss fucking.
Fuck them off. Do that.
As Atlas and Cyril leave, Elias walks them out, and when he returns to the room, Victoria is gone. At first, he thinks that she left running for the hills, but then he notices all of her stuff is still there. He follows her pheromone scent and finds that she's splashing water on her face in the restroom. Once out, she tells them they need to talk. He opens the door to an open invitation to sex with him, and she doesn't turn him down necessarily. She just wants boundaries, and she's like, I'm open to this, but when we have sex, but when we're working on the project, we have to be professional. And also, she doesn't want to be seen as a project to be made to come. And he says, down, all right. She tells him that she wants to be used as if fucking her is all she's good for. Internally, Elias is like, oh, she wants degradation. And then he starts putting together a plan. Vic is having a touchpoint meeting with her creepy professor, and he's doubting that she's going to be able to pull off the thesis on this project. She's providing him all the recordings of the interviews that she's done so far, and he's told her that she's incredibly thorough, and he looks forward to seeing it all happen in person because he really wants to be there for an interview. Later in the day, Vic is with Lyle when she gets an email. It essentially says that the work she's been doing recently has affected her average, and this email's an opportunity to gain some extra credit. An address was provided, as well as instructions on which room to go to, and it was signed Professor E. And she's like, oh shit, Elias wants to roleplay. At first, she was going to deny because it was hitting a little bit too close to home with creepy professor, but he doesn't know her past, so she also realized that the whole point of this was to step outside of herself and to get out of her head.
My mouth watered at the thought of how I might be asked to earn the extra credit. It would be for him, just as I asked. I would have to please him, gain his approval for my grades.
She emails him back and thanks him for the offer and tells him she'll do whatever it takes. She arrives at his house in a thrifted pleated school skirt and a white blouse, but had no bra or chonies on. She made her way to the designated room and stopped outside to knock before entering. He grants her permission to enter, and when she stepped in, she's like, wow, he's really gone all out. There's actual school desks in this room. There's posters on the wall, and he's writing on a chalkboard, like the whole nine yards of a classroom with a professor.
I love that. He's like, actually, we are going to do school. Sit down.
Yeah. You have a paper to write.
Noting that she has something in her hand, he asks if she brought him a gift, and she extends her hand out to him and offers him an apple.
Oh.
Teacher's pet.
Yeah.
He tells her to earn her extra credit. She's going to write him a 500-word essay on a topic that's in the biology book that he placed on her desk. When she opened the book, it says, "How to Touch Myself," written in Elias's handwriting, obviously signaling that that's what her essay has to be on. She drops her hand to her skirt and starts widening her legs, already getting hot and bothered. And he's like, handwritten. Demonstrations will be later.
Oh, he's like, no, really, write a paper.
Yeah, write a fucking paper, bitch.
She's basically writhing in her seat by the time she finishes her essay, and then he tells her to bring it to him. Time for demonstrations. He has to test her words to see how to greet her. With her up against the desk, he starts cupping her breast, and for a split second, she's worried that he's going to use her words to try to get her to come, which is exactly what she didn't want to do. But he quickly reassures her that this is also for him, and he starts sucking and twisting her nipples. In her instructions, she says that she cups herself over her underwear, and when he goes to follow her instructions, there are no underwear, so he must take points off for that.
That decadent hand was covering my sex, fingers delving into my folds, his claws dense but not harsh or scratching. He hummed as I moaned and arched into the pinch on my nipples, heels catching on drawer handles and trying to find enough purchase to lift my hips. I like pressure. How much exactly? You could have been clearer here. Say when, Miss Dempsey. Oh, okay, teacher.
As rough as he was with gripping her and pulling her nipples, she never said when. And he is breathless when he finds out that our girl likes pain. And he's like, okay, I see. He teases her and says, imagine if another professor walks in on us. But unfortunately, that had her thinking of Professor Weirdo Stranton. And she was about to stop the whole bit. But then he started fingering her and it melted all the doubt away. She feels the tension in her body gathering. And at that time, so does anxiety and pressure of orgasming. Elias can feel the shift in her. So he totally stops what he's doing and tells her the essay was adequate, but not enough to bring up her grades. Then he asked her how she would feel about an additional exam, an oral exam.
I'd be pissed. I'd be like, I just wrote 500 fucking words and you're going to dock some points and tell me that's not adequate.
Yeah.
How annoying.
Elias sensed how close Victoria had been to having an orgasm, but she didn't even realize it. Meanwhile, Elias is rock hard and feeling like he needs some super rough sex for the first time in his life, but he knows he needs to gain Victoria's trust first. She's feeling playful now and tells him she'll do whatever she needs to do to bring her grade back up as she lowers herself between his legs. She starts licking and grabbing at his junk from outside his wool professor trousers, and he asks if she's ever seen a Fey man's cock before, and she admits that she has not. And he says, well, take it out. So she unzips his pants and does as she's told.
Victoria's breath was abrupt, and I shuddered as my cormata unfurled from under the base of my cock. There was a pause of quiet, and I gathered myself to explain my anatomy to her, when something brushed against the fine strands extending from the sensitive tendrils. They look like the antenna on your head, Victoria murmured, and I grunted as she stroked the back of her knuckles through the threads. They smell good. I lifted my head and stared down, a strange warmth unfurling through me at the sight of her, partially obscured by the feather-like structures of my groin. They sense and emit pheromones, I said, my voice uneven and thick with arousal. What's a cormata?
It's just like little feathers that come out and tickle her.
Fun.
He tells her that it feels wonderful when she touches them. His cormata almost get playful with her, and all three of them are wiggling around, rubbing themselves against her hair and face, and then she finally grabs his dick and starts to tease it with her mouth. Elias is shocked when he realizes that he's about to bust, and he's no one pump chump. Then she picks up the pace and starts giving him some sloppy toppy, and he feels like he's going to combust. He gets back into his professor character and tells her what a gifted mouth she has, and if he'd known she'd be so enthusiastic, he would have offered extra credit a long time ago. She reaches down to start touching herself, but he stops her and tells her to get face down on his desk. She does, and he slides a condom on and thrusts into her. Even through the condom, she still feels absolutely divine.
Oh, they get right to it.
Mm-hmm.
A perfect fit. I knew you would be. I breathed, my eyes falling shut. I shook my head and tried to recall my role. Such a lovely, eager cunt. Exactly what I would expect from my star pupil. Victoria's laugh was husky and uneven, and I should have expected her retaliation, but I was too busy snuggling my hips to her ass. I like to be inside a lover, close and deep, like to wait there until... She began to move and my eyes flashed open. She was up on her elbows now, whining slightly as she rocked back into me, fucking herself on my cock. Get it, girl, get your nut.
As they're thrusting into each other, he asks her if she's determined to be the best in the class, and she says yes, and he says, work harder then. She's pushing back into him like crazy, and he tells her what a pretty little cunt she has, and how she's such a good little slut for her grades. She's gushing and moaning and writhing, and he continues the dirty talk for her.
Yes, I needed your mouth and your tongue, but most of all, I needed this pussy, all snug and slick and clutching on my cock. Snug and slick.
He can feel her getting right to the edge of climax and then tensing up and losing it, so he decides to try and work with her. He pins her down by the back of the neck and tells her it's time to earn her A. He's fucking her crazy style and she's right up at the edge again, and he comes loudly telling her what a good little slut she is. They collapse on his desk and she asks how she did, and he tells her it was definitely an A+ on this extra credit assignment. They straighten out their rumpled clothes and Elias picks her up, placing her on his lap to snuggle, and she's internally jumping up and down with joy because she'd nearly came and she can't believe it. They share a little smoochie, which turns sensual, but Victoria pulls back and thanks him for setting all of this up, and he offers her a tour of his home. Every room is staged according to different themes and filled with antiques and art. He says he acquired a lot of things and he likes placing them just so and rearranging them as he sees fit. And he asks if she'd like him to keep the classroom set up for next time. And she says, no, surprise me. So she wants a different role play next time. She leaves and meets her mother for dinner at her favorite restaurant, only to discover her mother had blindsided her by bringing a man about her age named Ben with the end goal of setting them up. And now Victoria's annoyed as hell, and even Ben seems like he's caught off guard by this whole situation. So she just shows up to lunch and her mom's like, hey, Victoria, this is Ben. This is a date now.
Yeah, absolutely not. I'd leave.
I'd be so pissed.
Yeah.
A week passes and Elias is on campus to meet up with Victoria to sit in on another interview, but this one will be chaperoned by Professor Stanton. As soon as Elias meets the professor, he gets a twinge of jealousy at how handsome this dude is. He wanted him to be this ugly old professor, but he's kind of hot.
Dang it.
They complete the interview with a selkie named Dana, and Professor Stanton tries to swoop in to have a conversation with Victoria, but she swerves him and says she has a shift at the library. She makes a beeline for Elias once she's outside, and he noticed that she seems uncomfortable around Professor Stanton, so he asks her about it. And she admits he was who she had an affair with, and Elias is like, oh shit, that's wild. He asks if she feels as though she's being harassed, and she says no, there's just some weird tension there. I think they had kind of a messy break. There was no closure. He brings up their next sex appointment and asks if she'd like to try anything in particular, but she tells him last time was perfect for the sole reason that he put so much thought and effort into it and didn't try to push anything she wasn't comfortable with. She asks what their plans are for the next round, and he tells her she'll see, but she starts to pout about not knowing.
Elias's grip on my wrist suddenly tightened, snapping me against his chest, his soft fur collar and hair so smooth against my cheek as he hissed in my ear, don't look at me like that, or I'll put you over my knee right here and show everyone what a cock-hungry little whore you are. Oh my god.
Present!
Later on, she sends him an email letting him know she's free in a week, but he says he's had a permanent boner since the last time, so she'll need to do better than that. So she decides to make tonight work and lets him know.
I'm gonna use my fist instead of your cunt if I can't have you tonight. My body answered the threat with a surprising clench in my core and a flare of heat that rose all the way up into my cheeks. I can be at your house by 9 p.m. No makeup. I'll provide everything, including the clothes. Expect a long night.
So she heads to Elias's place that night, and he set up the new room to be like an old-timey brothel. He instructs her to change into the clothes he's picked out, and don't be afraid of the rouge, especially on her nipples.
Oh, that's like lipstick, isn't it?
It's blush.
Oh, that's right.
Also, she'll be a virgin, and he's her first customer. She has a quick flashback to her ex-fiancé taking her virginity, but snaps out of it and says she's down. He leaves her to change and finds an armoire filled with clothes for her to dress up as a vintage lady of the night, complete with a set of crotchless knickers. She does her makeup and pins her hair up. Elias walks back in just as she's rouging up her nips. Now he's dressed up as an old-timey businessman and tells her he'd like to see what he's paid such good money for. She gives him a little twirl and then starts unfastening his outfit. He slides a hand between her thighs and right onto her bare puss. He instructs her to lay on the bed and spread her legs so he can see that fresh little pussy, and she obeys. Then he kneels down between her thighs and starts to nuzzle her.
Nothing like a good clean cunny untouched. Ew. Elias purred, mouth burrowing against my pussy as I tried to squirm back. His fingers wrapped around the back of my knees, making me squeak, and he yanked me closer to his face, groaning into my cunt, licking there. He eased back and I whined. I thought I'd teach you to fondle me and suck me first, but I've decided I'll have to be a bit rough to start, which means you need a bit of prepping, darling, and there's nothing that makes a honeypot sweeter than a good tongue lashing. Honeypot.
And cunny.
I know, cunny. A good clean cunny.
He's really getting into character.
Yeah, he is.
He starts using his super long tongue to fuck her, and now she's moaning and writhing. And I'm just imagining a butterfly tongue, the one that uncurls.
Oh, yeah.
He stops and plunges two fingers into her instead, telling her not to be greedy because it was him that paid for her after all. She tries to play with her own boobs, but he shoves her top back down, telling her she's his present to unwrap, you little slut. He licks his fingers clean and then whips out his dick, complete with the golden coromata. He lines himself up and reminds her the first time only hurts for a moment, and then he thrusts in.
That's it, darling. You'll be all right. Elias murmured into my ear as I twitched and settled beneath him, my body adjusting into an eager, wet welcome of him inside of me. There, now, yes, what a good tight little cunny you have. I know it hurts, but you're such a good girl.
She's a virgin. She said, ow, my hymen.
Ow, my cunny.
She assures him that it doesn't hurt, but he just smiles darkly at her and calls her a pretty little whore and assures her that she will be sore tomorrow. He rips her top open and comments on how well she rouged up her nipples just for him.
I'm going to teach you how to take a man in hand, little whore. How to suck and nurse on cock. But oh, I'm going to fill this little pussy, so you'll be dripping with me for days, darling. I twisted, trying to hide my face in the sheets, but Elias gripped my chin and my eyes flew open to meet his. No, darling, you'll watch me. You'll remember my face. The first man to ever teach this sweet cunt what it was worth.
All right.
What?
Okay, moth.
He's fucking her hard, telling her how tight she is, and she can feel herself getting closer and closer to her peak. This thought alone brings tears to her eyes, but Elias groans out his own release and then immediately apologizes for not waiting for her. He knew she was right there, but he was in character. And his character doesn't give a fuck if she comes.
No.
She says it's totally fine, and she just likes feeling like he's using her to get his own pleasure. He doesn't seem to mind this answer, and she asks if they're done for tonight, and he smiles and says, "Not nearly."
Undress me and then fondle and suck me until I'm hard again. I'll tell you when to do something I really like. I scrambled up, shrugging out of the torn top. Oh yes, off with the drawers too. Elias nodded, watching me, the warm light of the room brightening his dark eyes. I want a good view of all of you, my darling little whore.
A few days pass and Elias and Victoria are now watching an orc couple fuck. He notices that she's super aroused and her hand is extremely close to her puss, so he cups it and gives it a firm press. She puts her hand over his and applies more pressure, but tells him she doesn't have any time for sex stuff today. He's disappointed, but she tells him she is free tomorrow night. He continues rubbing her over her pants until she's panting with need, but he knows this is not the time he wants to get her off for the first time, so he pulls his hand away. The next day, he sends her a text in character as her boss at the bar, and she is to meet him in his office for a quickie. She shows up and knocks at his door, sliding into the room meekly like a nervous employee, and says she needs to ask about taking Friday off. He notices she's wearing a dress and tells her if she wants the night off, she needs to lift it up. When she does, he discovers she's not wearing anything underneath.
Dirty.
He points to a box on the ground next to her and tells her to put one leg up on it and pull out one of her tits.
I groaned as I squeezed myself, my mouth watering at the sight of the darkened nipple. She'd fucking rouged it again? What did you do? I whispered, glancing up at her, dropping the act for the moment. Tinted lip gloss, she said, groping and molding her breast in her hand. Pomegranate flavor. Oh.
He asks permission to be rough with her and she says, yeah. Then he pulls out a condom and lube, slides on the condom, and she lubes him up. He starts fucking her, standing up, talking dirty to her about the possibility of someone walking in.
I'm gonna use your pussy till you milk me dry, I said, and her eyes flashed open to hold my gaze. You can say it's for a night off, but we both know the truth. You just want to be my little cock whore. If I offered to pay you to sit in here all day, naked and ready for me, you'd say yes, wouldn't you? Yeah, you would.
Yeah.
He can feel her getting close again, and he's shocked when she tells him to take the condom off and raw dog her.
Okay. The thought of it, of the wetness that splashed against my hips, coating my cock, the velvet interior of her pussy sucking and kissing all over my length, made me snap, electricity in my veins and crackling down my spine. I threw my head back with a strangled roar and came with a violence that sent the pair of us dripping down the wall, my hips chasing pleasure with an uneven gait.
Goddamn.
She chuckles, telling him she didn't know that would get him off immediately, but tells him how incredible that was. She starts kissing his body, praising him about how good he is at pleasing her. He's still inside of her, and he can feel that she's still really into this, and maybe even still close to coming. He pulls out, and she starts talking about how she asked her ex, Brett, to try somnophilia with her when they were still together, but he shut her down and made her feel like a weirdo for it. But Elias just smiles and says it's a perfectly normal kink, and maybe they'll have to arrange a sleepover. She's thrilled and starts kissing him wildly and sloppily. He confesses he's really into frottage, which is basically just dry humping.
Yeah, I had to Google that.
Me too.
Oh.
I was like, what the fuck is frottage?
I love a good dry hump.
Yeah, everyone loves a dry hump.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So she starts grinding herself over his now semi-hard dick. She gets close again but psychs herself out, so he tells her to put it inside of her, so she gladly does. They fuck a few more times in his office until Victoria is finally like, I've really gotta go. He apologizes, telling her his mating season is coming up. He's not usually this sex crazy. His Coromata are going crazy over her nether regions, and she figures that's probably why. He tells her that he has some pheromone receptor in his mane too that can make her ultra horny if she huffs them. And if they're around each other in a few weeks when it's at its peak, he'll need to fuck her for literal days nonstop.
Oh God. Do you want to spend days in my bed being used and fucked and soaked? I promise to be gentle. I don't want you to be gentle the whole time. I blurted out too easily.
Oh my God. Do it, guys. Hang out together.
The thought of being used for his pleasure for days on end is thrilling to her, and she tells him to give her the dates and she'll make the arrangement for her cats at home. The next night, Victoria is finally getting together with her sister for some drinks, and she's nervous as heck. As they sit together awkwardly, her sister blurts out that she and Brett have set a wedding date. Emma gets teary-eyed, saying she doesn't know if she can do this if Victoria isn't okay with it, but Victoria laughs and says she really is totally fine with this as long as her sister's happy. She assures Emma that she's never felt any sort of negative feelings about their relationship, and she's happy for the two of them. They finally let go of all the tension and get to be regular sisters again.
Wild.
I don't give a fuck if I have zero feelings for my ex. If my sister...
That's fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
Fucked up.
It's the principle.
Yeah, you guys want to be pussy cousins? You want to be pussy cousins when you're sisters?
At last, the height of Elias's mating season is here, and Victoria has made arrangements for the cats. She heads on over and Elias literally pounces on her as soon as she opens the door. He slams her up against the wall and thrusts into her before she can even set her stuff down, grunting that her tight, wet pussy belongs to him. He picks her up and fucks her as they make it up the stairs, but she says it takes over an hour because he can't quit fucking her.
Oh my God.
I would be like, oh my God, stop. Let's just walk up real quick.
Yeah, let's just get this done real fast.
They make it up to his loft-style bedroom, which she notes is not staged with antiques and actually feels like him. He plops her down on all fours over the couch, and she thinks he's going to slide into her again, but instead he tells her he needs this and starts eating it from behind. She realizes that he's using her as a fuck toy, and this is exactly what she wanted. She's finally able to get out of her head and really get into what's happening to her right now. He starts rubbing her clit, saying that he wants her to drip into his mouth.
Elias's slow, circular rubbing coiled inside of me, tightening, heating, and I gasped as the warm, tickling pool of arousal gathered inside of me. His groan as it slipped down into his open, waiting mouth vibrated into my core, my legs twitching and a brief spark crackling in my core. His hand flattened, soothing over my clit in folds and opening as he backed away, and I swallowed my wine, ragdolling over the couch once more. "Perfect," Elias said, and then he pressed his rigid length back inside of me.
Eventually, they take a break from their sex marathon and grab a bite to eat in the kitchen, and they chit-chat, getting to know each other a little bit better, and Victoria is starting to feel like this is all very domestic. But soon enough, it's time to get back to fucking. After a few more rounds, Victoria is so exhausted, she falls asleep, and Elias decides to test out her little somnophilia kink. With consent, of course. He did verify with her beforehand.
Okay, good. Good, good, good.
He fucks her as she snoozes and plays with her clit, but she doesn't wake up and he realizes this may be it. She's asleep and relaxed, so maybe it'll happen. He thrusts into her for a little bit and she moans in her sleep and he can feel her clench around him. He's done it. She had an orgasm.
Oh my God. Hell yeah.
But also, how did you not wake up?
Yeah, how crazy would that be too, to be like the next morning, he's like, hey, you had an orgasm last night in your sleep.
Like, I can only do it when I'm sleeping now.
I know. I'd be so bummed I wasn't, like, present for it. Yeah.
She wakes up right after, realizing what just happened, and he tells her he wants her to suck his dick while he uses toys on her. He puts a vibrator on her clit and suction toys on her nipples and then starts face-fucking her.
Unfuck. I looked down the length of her, bent my head, and tongued her belly button, and Victoria took a grateful pull on my cock as I nudged and thrust carefully against her throat. You're going to come for me, I rasped, and her nails gripped into the flesh of my ass. Oh yes, you want it so bad.
Right in the belly button.
Yeah.
She comes hard, screaming and sobbing, and he's nervous he took it too far, but she just grabs his dick and tells him she needs him now. He climbs over her and slides into her, and she tells him to fuck her, and she's still fully crying. She's going through the emotions right now.
Yes, she is.
She asks him how he did it while she was asleep, so he starts to play with her clit again and tells her she doesn't have to come if she doesn't want to, which makes her cry even harder.
Oh yes, there it is, Elias said, dark and satisfied, right before familiar heat started to bubble in my core, echoing in my chest. His thumb pressed harder, distracting me from my surprise. Fuck, you feel so good, Victoria. Such a good little toy, squeezing so tight on my cock. Yes, yes, that's it. The moan rose up before I knew I was at the crest, and it sharpened into a cry as Elias grew rougher, more urgent, his face sharpening with a wild edge. Come on my cock, darling. Yes, just like that. Your pretty wet cunt is sucking so hard, draining me dry. Oh my God.
Then they both climax together. Later the next day, Elias's libido has finally calmed down just a smidge. They're snuggling and she thanks him for everything. She starts asking about the house and he tells her he bought it when it was super run down and forgotten, but he fixed it up. She starts jerking him off, asking him more questions like, does he let his friends come over? And he says, no, nobody but you and the people we interviewed. She asks him to throw a dinner party and then starts sucking his dick. And he's like, oh my God, yes, I'll throw a dinner party. Just keep sucking my dick. He calls her a hungry little cum slut and tells her to grab the vibrator and use it while she gives him head.
I did as he asked, pressing the simple wand vibrator against my clit and letting the needy sounds rise up in my throat. Surround him, satisfy him. Yes, that's it. Oh, you suck so hard when you get horny, darling. That's it. Take more of me. I know you can. Here, let me show you. Yes, gag a little. It's all right. What a good student you are.
He loves a dirty talk.
Yeah, he does. He really does.
And with that, they both come together.
They have a lull in their steamy hot sex, and Elias gives her every form of aftercare he can think of. The next day, he asks if they can maybe start seeing each other, and she tells him that they already crossed a boundary that they made. But she would love to continue seeing him with no acts, so no, like, role play and stuff like that.
Like, see him for real?
Mm-hmm.
Cute.
Just kind of test the waters. He says, okay, how about tomorrow? Not sex, just dinner and a movie. And she says, okay. And now they have their first date planned.
Cute.
Elias is watching romance movies to try to learn some stuff about love as his phone rings with an unknown number. He answers it and it's Alexi. Alexi wants to know why Elias didn't come back for mating season. There were multiple fae females to procreate with. But Elias doesn't care because he doesn't want to procreate with the Fae women back in the Fae world. Then he hangs up with Alexi and continues his rom-coms. Elias is trying to get Victoria to come on his face, but she won't get out of her own head.
One of these days, you'll cream all over my face. He kissed my heating cheek. Tonight, I'll settle for you soaking my cock. Cream all over my face.
He enters her and fucks her until she finally comes. He comes inside of her and they cuddle some more. Elias asks a bit about Brett and he learns that Brett is marrying her sister Emma. He's like mind blown over this, that she's like cool with it. And she has to triple ensure him that she's fine.
Yeah, understandably so.
He texts her not even a full day later that he misses her, and the sudden clinginess is kind of giving her the ick, and he tells her to make sure she's available next month for Rafe's dinner party, and she's full-blown freaking out. She's like, sex in advance, one thing. Dinner party with your friends? Hell no.
Girl, you're the one that said have a dinner party.
Victoria is at her library shift, imagining what it would be like to actually date Elias. And when she looks up, he's standing there with Lyle. He missed her, so he brought her food and coffee, but he can see the shock on her face and knows that he overstepped. She tries to say that he just surprised her, but both Lyle and Elias can tell that she's not down with this.
Oh, God.
He kisses her and asks to see her tomorrow, and she's like, okay, bye.
That's the worst feeling ever.
Yeah.
Just having the ick.
I have, like, secondhand embarrassment. I hate that.
Lyle and Victoria are walking to their next class, and he lets her know that Stanton, her professor that she had an affair with, has multiple sexual harassment complaints with multiple student affairs, and it's now being investigated with the dean. So she ain't the only one.
Oh, shit.
The whole next day, she's with her mom and Emma, and it's all she can think about. Her mom tries to pester her about the man named Ben she tried to set Victoria up with, and Victoria's like, who the fuck is Ben? And she's like, oh, right. Yeah, no, I'm not gonna date him. I'm not interested. And mind you, they're wedding dress shopping for Emma, so her mom's there, Emma, and then Brett's mom. Then Brett's mom announces that Victoria's friend is here, and Elias steps around her. So, second time he's shown up uninvited.
What are you doing here?
That's like a huge family event, too. Like,
yeah, what is a man doing wedding dress shopping? Get out!
He has four coffees for the women, and he looks beautiful in the bridal boutique light. Victoria's mom demands an introduction, and he introduces himself as Victoria's boyfriend.
Oh, okay.
Victoria's like, what are you doing here? We need to go outside right now.
Yeah.
She's fucking pissed. And he knows that this is not the move. He follows her outside and she lays into him. She tells him that he's playing some type of role right now and she doesn't appreciate doing so with her family, especially for a big event like this. He tries to apologize and she tells him he isn't her boyfriend. Showing up to her work, to a family event, asking to see her every day, all of it is not okay. She doesn't want a forced romance. He is only helping her with her research and they fuck. That is it. He is visibly hurt and admits that he loves her, but she doesn't believe him.
Oh my God. Elias.
He apologizes again and she leaves to get back to Emma, forcing herself not to cry. She's now completed her first interview without Elias, but Stanton is present. When the Yeti leaves the interview, Stanton all but begs her not to join in on the investigation of his misconduct with students because it would jeopardize her study. And she's like, I wasn't planning on it. Bye. Leave me the fuck alone.
Yeah.
Elias is at the bar and calls all of his guy friends to go over what happened with Victoria because he needs advice. He admits that he doesn't know if he does love her, because he can't tell since he's never been in love. But she was mad, even though all the rom-com movies worked out that way.
Yeah, he's been binging rom-coms to try and figure out how to fall in love.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. What a sweet, innocent guy.
He's like, and then we get into a fight, and then we make up, and then we are in love forever, and that's how it works.
I seen it on the TV.
What a dumb little moth.
For real.
His friends tell him not to take notes from the movies. They then ask him if he ever told Victoria that he was trying to fall in love when he first met her. And he's like, no. They tell him he needs to do better with communicating and quit trying to replicate other people's relationships. So now he's going to try to win her back.
Maybe just lay low for a little bit.
Yeah.
For real, slide into her DMs in like 3 months.
Yeah. Ignore her when she reaches out to you.
Yeah, do that. Post pictures with other women.
Yeah. And then text her late at night.
Yeah.
Victoria is hiding in the alleyway next to Nightlight. She misses Elias and wants to date him, but is too afraid. She's interrupted by Hannah and Rafe, and they ask if she's there to see Elias because he's not at the bar tonight. He's actually out looking for her. So she heads home to make it easier to find her, but when she climbs her porch steps, he's already there. He admits the truth of wanting to fall in love before meeting her and to help with the study. They went hand in hand for him, and she asks if he's in love with her now. He says, not yet, and she smiles as he asks if she's in love with him, and she says, not yet, and they share a tender kiss. She admits she was scared and was trying to push him away. She apologizes, and he says there's nothing to forgive because he was in the wrong as well. She invites him inside her home for the first time, and they just talk. They don't do any frisky stuff. A couple days later, Victoria arrives to Elias's house, and he has his friends over, which doesn't happen. His friends are there to discuss Rafe's supper club itinerary, which will now be held at Elias's house. The evening turns into the dinner party they talked about with all of his friends and Victoria. By the end of the night, Victoria knew Elias was overwhelmed by the guests and the intrusions, and she asks if he wants her to go home. He tells her that he prefers her to stay, no sex, he just wants something very domestic, like laying next to each other and reading a book, and she loves the idea. A couple days later, Victoria goes to the dean to add to the investigation against Stanton. She knows it's going to compromise the study, but feels like it's the right thing to do. And when she's done, she meets Elias.
May I ask a favor? I asked, dropping my voice lower. Of course, he said, straightening expectantly, too familiar with requests. Tonight, will you fuck me until I'm so tired I can't even move? I asked. Elias froze for a moment, and then his head dropped, wings folding closer to envelop us. Can I use toys? I nodded quickly. I want you to call me a good girl. Gladly, my lovely little cock toy, Elias murmured in my ear. Sweet.
I've never been called a cock toy.
I know.
Shoot.
I know. I think I'd like it.
I think I would too.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's dirty.
Halloween night after Elias's shift at the bar, him and Victoria go to view a demonstration. But there's a catch. They need a volunteer. Or two. They arrive at Nico the Kraken's house. Victoria and Elias undress and step into the pool of water. Nico watches as Victoria and Elias start some heavy petting and make out. Elias asks if she's wet and she nods. Elias tells her to show them.
Spread your legs, I said, nipping at her lip. Her foot nudged against mine. Very good. Now hold yourself open so Nico can have a good look at you. Oh, she's just started to drip.
Got a dripper.
Nico asks to touch her and wraps a tentacle around her hand. Then they use more to drag her close and start to rub her pussy. Elias walks to them to stand behind Victoria and tells her to kiss Nico.
The tugging, suckling sensation on my clit was almost impressive, and I squirmed and whimpered against the Kraken as their tongue, nearly a tentacle on its own, fucked into my mouth. Something burrowed at the opening of my sex, and I shuddered and almost choked against Nico's kiss.
She's super into this as she rocks on Nico and feels Elias's cock against her ass. Her and Elias start playing with Nico's tentacles, and they are loving it.
I joined him in playing with Nico's tentacles, finding a large, swollen sucker near the base that almost joined to Nico's muscular hips, and massaging it in my hand, circling my fingertips around the edge. Nico shouted, and Elias huffed out a laugh. Finger it, Elias urged.
Finger his tentacle.
Now Nico is starting to thrust a tentacle inside of her. Elias tells her to spread her cheeks because he'll have her ass tonight while Nico has her pussy.
Don't be embarrassed, Nico said, rising up from the water and coiling closer. I'm going to have his.
Oh, okay.
Like a human centipede, but not human.
Yeah. A monster centipede.
Yeah.
As she's getting DP, Elias whines. She goes to look, but Nico stops her.
I'm sucking on his prostate, the Kraken said, and then reshared a grin as Elias moaned loudly. He's going to come soon, but I won't stop. He'll stay hard for you. Oh my god.
She asks Nico if they can do that to her pussy, and they say, bet. They twist a tentacle inside of her, putting a sucker right on her G-spot.
Damn.
They all come and Elias hauls her out of the water. They'll be staying the night in the guest room since they got there at like 2 a.m. because they came right after his bar shift. As they lay in bed, Elias admits he wants a relationship with her. He asks her to be his and she says she already is and they fall asleep. It's 1 year later, they're in love, Victoria has her doctorate degree, and it's almost mating season. The end.
Wow, what a cute love story.
So Riley, how many red pepper emojis do you give it?
I really liked this one. I think I'll give it 4.5. I really liked it. It was cutesy. What did you guys think of the book?
I gave it a 3.5. I liked it.
Okay.
It was hard for me to get into at first because this is the third book out of the series. So when I was starting my notes, I was like, who the fuck are all of these people?
Yeah.
But the book itself, loved.
Cute. Love that.
I don't know why. This wasn't my favorite.
Okay.
And hot take from me, I think I would have preferred if this was a contemporary.
Oh.
Yeah, which I never say. I don't know. I just felt like they didn't need to be monsters.
Yeah, like it felt out of place for you?
Yeah, I don't like, is it called a contemporary monster romance when they're in a regular city? Because they're in Chicago. It just wasn't my vibe, I don't think. And I really liked A Lady of Rooksgrave Manor. And I just didn't like this one as much. So I gave it a 3.5.
Okay.
Well, next week, we're telling Riley all about Release by Suzanne Clay. And we're going to have her look at the cover and give us her best guess on what it might be about. And I want you to try and guess the female main character's secret afterwork hobby.
All right. So on the cover, it says Release. It was supposed to be a stranger, not her boss. And it's got a man just with a suit on it. So first, you want me to say what I think her secret after work activity is?
Yeah.
Painting rocks.
No, it's sex related.
Oh, it's sex related.
Painting rocks could be sex related.
Yeah, just painting dicks on them.
She does OnlyFans.
No.
Tell me what it is then.
No.
I think it's going to be a girl working in the city. And then she meets this man on this website. It's like an anonymous website where you meet like hookups. So you meet each other in person, but online, you don't know who. That sounds so dangerous, but whatever. So you do that and she meets up with him. Oh my God, it's her boss. So whatever. They have like this one night hookup and they're like, we can never do this again. But then they continue to do it. And they build a very beautiful relationship.
Where does the rock painting come in?
Just when she's after work. Okay. To relax. Clearly, that's not what she does. But I will say that he accepts her after work sexual activities.
Okay.
How'd I do?
Not too bad.
You would have been right on the money if you would have guessed her after work activity. Because they meet while she's doing her after work activity.
Ah, oh, damn. I can't wait to find out what it is now.
Yeah.
Is she a stripper?
No.
Dang it.
It's not a job. She doesn't make money off of it.
Oh, boo. Then what the fuck is she doing?
Painting rocks.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll find out next week what she's doing.
Yeah, we will.
All right. Well, if you liked this episode, make sure you rate, review, and subscribe.
Follow us on Instagram at @smutupandlistenpodcast and on TikTok at @smutupandlisten.
Tell your friends, but not your mom. And we'll see you later, you horny little rats.
Bye.